Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening.
Hi,
Jackie.
All right. Tonight, now I have no notes or anything, and I'm up in the portal, the healing room, because this is going to be kind of a fun night. Tonight we talk about the team for people who didn't get the notice. If you haven't signed up for the newsletters, if you sign up, if you go on my website, ethealing.com, you'll get a notice every week telling you what the show is going to be about. So, and tonight I would really like to dedicate the show to the team. And, you know, the team is so much bigger than anyone can possibly imagine. You know, I have my guys, but the overall team is beyond anything. I mean, you can't comprehend it, I can tell you that. And tonight, as I talk about those that are very close to me and describe them, they would like to interact with each and every person that's listening. Now, if you're uncomfortable with that, okay, please just right now put it out there that you would prefer not, and that will be totally honored. My personal team, my guys, okay, my real close ones, are able to replicate themselves and be many places at one time. So, they are very unique, and there's quite an assortment. And I'm just going to talk about kind of the main ones because we do so much together, and I love them so dearly. But this is only a small piece of the totality. And I want to talk a little bit first about what's going on. And I can tell you that right now they are making a huge, huge movement to reach people. Through the dream state, through people being on the computer, through a variety of media, a variety of ways, all of a sudden I am getting calls and emails nonstop. And these people are having dreams where they're being called to come for sessions. So this is, I've had little waves of this, but right now it's a very big wave. Right now this is a huge movement. And I've had experiences, and Veronica, you and I have shared this before, where, you know, people have said to me, well, you came to me in the dream state, and you talked to me, and I wish I could remember what you said. Some people do remember what I said. But now they're having even more extraordinary experiences where evidently I'm having a hell of a dream state. I guess when you're not having sex, you know, you're... I have to get a life here. So
tantric dreaming, Jackie.
So, yeah, well, no, I don't want to be doing that to clients. Thanks anyway. I have Europa for that. I want to share one experience which I thought was absolutely beautiful. A wonderful woman who wrote a book called The Portal 2012. We did a session earlier in the week, and she had a direct experience with the team. And in that experience, she could see thousands and thousands and thousands of ETs and of every variety imaginable and things that you can't even imagine. And they formed one giant, all of a sudden merged together to form this giant extraterrestrial face. And then the voice that came through, of course, is the one that comes through me when I channel. And then they began to speak with her and share with her. Which I thought was really a beautiful visual to kind of share with people, because a lot of people are having experiences with the team where the voice that comes through me comes to them directly. which is exciting for me. You know, I love that, and I love that people are developing wonderful relationships with the team. So I thought it was appropriate, and the team today let me know that they were very funny, kind of all lined up, you know, waiting to go on the show. And
did they have their lipstick on, Jackie?
No, but so I think I'll start with okay, I guess I probably should explain it this way. We tend to think of, when we say ET healing, we tend to think that they're all healers. And I want you to understand, or I want to share with you, that in fact, all of them have different areas of expertise. And you have to understand that we're talking about numbers that are beyond our comprehension. And they're all working together, and of course this includes not only the spiritual hierarchy of this planet, but also the cosmic hierarchy, which again they don't like to go into better than, but there is a difference, for lack of better wording, that's the one I use. There are beings from other dimensions, not just other planets. Beings, of course, just pure light, mass consciousnesses, and just to kind of give you an idea that there's a wonderful being by the name of Galexis. She's now on BBS Radio, and Ginger channels her. And Galexis works with the team and has asked numerous times to be included, you know, they love to be called in and included. They love the team, and they love to participate. Bashar, I had a private session for those of you who know who Bashar is, and you can go onto his website, which is Bashar, BASHAR.org. And in a private session with Bashar, they went into detail that they participate as well, as do some of their people. So the, you know, it's difficult when I talk about the team, it sounds small, but it's anything but. And in the very beginning, when I could see all the beings that were coming in for every session, it was so overwhelming because some were observers, some were participants. It was overwhelming. It almost was too much data for a human to take in. It was putting me into massive overload. So we've structured things differently so it's easier on me. But it was actually a lot of fun to be able to see all of the varieties. And again, as humans, we tend to think in very limited quantities and in limited types of species, but there is absolutely no limitation, not only in our universe, but in the multiverse. There just simply is not. And there are a variety of, you know, almost everything, and I guess, what's the name of the movie, Veronica? Men in Black, mm-hmm. where basically everything you saw on Earth, you know, had a form of representation in the cosmos, and that's not too far from the truth. Be it in the whether it's animal or insectoid or humanoid or you know, the varieties are endless. I mean, if for us to limit, you know, God, Goddess, all that is, or Source, or the Creator, the Creatrix would be silly. It's just we function from our sense of limitation. We try to define the limitless with limited thinking, and it's impossible to do. So, you know, basically, I'll talk about my point guy. I call him my point guy. I love him. His name is Photar, Photar. And Photar designed the website. The website's imbued. And the fellow that did the website actually came here, and I put him up on the table, and Fotar was standing behind him. And this young man said to me, "There's someone in my brain," and I went, "Oh, crap, it's Fotar." And Fotar announced that he was going to design the website through this young man, which he did. And it's, you know, I think it's wonderful. Every time I try to go to change it, I'm told just leave it alone. So I do. Fotar is in the family of, and again, I don't want to limit any of this, in the family of what you would perceive potentially as praying mantis, although not fully praying mantis. Okay? He is beyond what we would understand because our limited perspective of what races are is just that limited. Evidently, incredibly honored in the cosmos because different people who channel and so on, when they found out their names, immediately knew who they were, and they were in honor and respect, so, and sometimes awe. But for me, Fotar is very, very funny, and for many of my clients who he works with, he's hysterically funny. Fotar is about 7.5 feet tall, and there's actually a design down his extended nose. And he's huge. I mean, he can make himself smaller or larger. At a presentation I did one time in my own home, a friend of mine who could see walked in and went, "Holy mackerel, what's that?" I said, "It's Fotar." And she said, "He takes up part of the house." And I said, "Yes, okay." Fotar loves to go to court. He loves to go to job interviews. He loves to teach. And when he teaches people and shows up with them, especially those that are struggling with taking their power, he has shown up in various outfits to make them laugh. The last one I heard about is he had the goggles on that they, you know, when they were first flying planes, those little goggles that they put on, that strapped behind the head, with a scarf around his neck, and sometimes he'll show up in a beret, and with a magnifying glass, and just very funny things too, especially with this one particular person, in order to get her to laugh. Now, she did not know Fotar's name, so she came to me with the name, and explained that whenever she was in her stuff and really stuck, he would stay away until she finally moved through it. Then he'd come back in and start teaching her again. He's wonderfully, wonderfully funny. Does amazing things. I've sent, of course, you know, hospital runs and all kinds of other things. And Fotar can replicate himself in many places at one time. I experience him as incredibly loving, incredibly funny. And there's kind of a tongue-in-cheek to this because at one point I was having breakfast with my son and I looked across the table and my son transformed into Fotar. I almost fell out of my chair. And it was only for a moment.
Why would he do that, just to keep you hopping?
I fully believe that they are related, whether Ricky is a past human lifetime of Fotar's or exactly what that relationship is, I'm not sure. But I do have a sensing that my son and he are incredibly connected. I don't think my son's aware of it, but it seems to me that there is that relationship. There is also Euroka, who we try to keep under wraps most of the time because she's just wild. And Euroka is makes fun of me. She's very, very funny. Very powerful. Doesn't fool around. This is, again, my personal team. Loves to raise people's kundalini energy. The men tend to love her. She's very humanoid, large eyes, enormous breasts, tall and skinny, very narrow. Will not tell anybody where she's from. and very, she has an arrogance to her, but a funny arrogance, okay? They are, and Europa and Photar tend to, they seem to be very close. Let's see. Echo is an archetype from another dimension. He has kind of circles around his eyes. Humanoid, but he does not necessarily. Sometimes I've seen him stand. A lot of times he will float. He loves to be out by the pool. People have seen him floating above the pool, and there's like little wings almost at the end of where you would expect to have hands. Again, you know, these are difficult for people to perceive. I have a ton of beings that we work with that are very humanoid looking and look like humans with just little tiny differences. But this is, you know, kind of my team that I'm talking about. Some people have experienced the smell of wet dog, and we can't decide if it's Photar or Echo, but it's one of them. And it's just an interesting smell that you can't really explain. I have one client that will call me from New York and say, my office smells like wet dog. Tell them to leave. But she's kidding. She loves them. Herpho, and it's H-E-R-P-H-O, is a really high-level being. I cannot really describe whether you would call her an extraterrestrial or a universal part of the universal hierarchy. I really could not. When she comes with guards who stand and guard. She never comes alone. She always has beings with her that tend to her. That's the only way I can explain it. Not wait on her, but they tend. She's treated with huge honor. She's all golden. Golden clothes. She throws strands of gold. It's almost like a blessing. She's really quite absolutely beautiful, and her presence is very honoring. There are people that I've worked with where she has put healing discs in their left hand, and these are ancient discs that are not of this earth. She's very, very phenomenal. When she comes in to do any kind of a blessing, it is just that, a blessing. Oren, what came in originally as the head of my medical team, and I was fascinated to find that, and he was very humanoid looking. He's from Sirius, and dark hair, blue eyes. What was interesting is that I did not know. It's O-R-I-N, that there is an aspect of him that also channels through, and I don't know the woman's name. Veronica, you'll probably know who this is. And she wrote the book Opening to Channel and many other books.
Oh, Ramana, no, I'm saying Sayana, I can't remember.
But that's her
name.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
And he wrote a book, he channeled a book on joy, which is no surprise to me that he would be head of my medical team. There, but this is another aspect of him, and again, we get confused in terms of thinking that we are dealing with just one being when we deal with a being, because they are a multiplicity, they are multidimensional.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the aspects of them that I deal with, but that doesn't mean that's the totality of who they are. There's Patuk, who kind of mans the portal. Little guy, just adorable. If you could think E.T., that's pretty close. He is... not fully... this is hard to explain... he's not totally artificial intelligence, but there is some artificial intelligence to him. So he operates on a prime directive, if you will. This is his job, is to make sure that everything, and so that if I come up and get on the table spontaneously, he's right there to hook everything up and begin everything. I mean, this sound, you know, it sounds funny for me to share this with people, and I have to be really honest with you because this is all stuff very personal to me. So.
And it's very intricate. It's very carefully woven.
It's incredibly carefully woven, and if you can understand the how quickly, if people email people that we're currently working with, if they have an emergency and they email me, the team is there in a moment. There is no time or space. There is no, I mean, they're everywhere all at the same time. They're tireless in terms of all that they do. There are humans who have been close friends of mine, some of them, that participate. There is a whole group of beings, one who worked at the UN, that sing into the sessions. They sing. It's this beautiful music that you can't really describe because it's like the music of the spheres. And the music is, and they asked if they could participate. And I was thrilled that they wanted to participate. It was clear to me that what they were doing was coming from the highest level. There are many beings that participate that are very human-looking, as I said, from a variety of different places. There are other beings that some of which would be very frightening to us as humans, and so they make it a point not to ever make themselves known because they don't want to frighten us. That's not their desire. And they recognize that we function within a very limited scope of understanding of differences. You know, we have a hell of a time just dealing with humans.
When all this started, hey, Jackie, when all this started, how, I mean, did you meet them all at once or did you meet them one at a time? Or?
Well, what was happening in the beginning, which was in order for me to know that I hadn't lost my mind, it was orchestrated so beautifully that my closest friend's daughter, Brittany, opened at the same time I did, and our portals were intertwined. So they would go from her house in California to my house here in Las Vegas. And so they would carry messages back and forth to validate for me that all of this was really real. And, you know, case in point, I was giving a demonstration at my home one night, and Brittany called in Euroka and Fotar, and they were there. And Euroka said, look, got to go, got to be at Jackie's at 7. Now, Brittany knew nothing about the demonstration. So, I mean, it's that kind of stuff where it was being validated constantly. Mm-hmm. There were a variety of different, and I have another guy, Roanne, who is... from the medical side, he is the titular, you would call the titular head of the medical from Andromeda. This is medical and spiritual. He was my first contact, and he has explained basically that I am his daughter, which is, you know, I don't know how all this works. And, you know, I know this will surprise people, but I don't ask questions, and I know this surprises me too. There is a part of me that seems to know. And for that reason, I mean, the preparation for all of this was so huge. And I realize, you know, as time has gone on and I've life reviewed, that, you know, this really didn't happen overnight. It appeared to happen overnight, but it definitely did not. So,
But your understanding of it must have happened over a long period of time.
Very much so. And I actually was in communication and doing a lot of this years and years ago without realizing. It was so normal that I guess for whatever reason, it's like I was operating on multiple levels. But, you know, as I've gone back, it's just that since this started, I really haven't had much time to think. Anyway, Roanne is very human-looking, ancient beyond anything you can imagine. He has gone to Brittany. He would go to Brittany when I would get too tired in the beginning and make her go to her mother and convey a message to me. And he used to scare Brittany because he was very serious, and she wasn't used to that. In terms of the variety of races, I can't even begin to tell you. Now, many people experience just balls of light or these beings of light, or they'll have an experience in the dream state where they're on a table, but there's very humanoid-looking doctors and so on working on them. And let's see, somebody described a very good-looking human. The nose was a little large, fairly short, dark hair. And so, you know, again, this is not really anything that is designed in any way to frighten people in whatsoever. When we talk about the team, you know, the team tends to sound really small, but it's so enormous that from my perspective, every single thing that happens, I feel this huge shift of action, no matter what it is, this person in this hospital, that person in crisis, this person here. I just feel this constant motion, and so when somebody sends me all these emergency things, I print them off, put them on my emergency table. I know that things are moving out, boom, 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 boom. They're tireless. They love us. Unbelievably.
So their job is not just healing, but to shift our, limited consciousness into a more...
Absolutely, in every way. And mm-hmm. the more open we are, the more that we can experience, Veronica. That really is the bottom line. Mm-hmm. You know, if I send Photar, somebody was going on an interview, and they were here for a session, and the team suggested that Photar go with her. It was a very big job and so on and so forth. And she walked into the interview and immediately felt the energy. And it was down to two people after they'd interviewed 50 people, and they called and canceled the other person, stopped him from flying in, hired her on the spot. But she absolutely, when she walked in, could feel the whole energy shift. And I've had this happen over and over and over again with Votar. I've sent him into major court case. I mean, you know, there are some days I walk by the healing room putting my hands over my eyes going, I'm sorry. I've sent him into, you know, sales presentations for a multi-million dollar piece of art. You know, it's play. I mean, I would never ask him to do anything that would be counter or contrary. And interestingly enough, I often don't even think to ask him for me. So,
you asked him for me one time when I had a really bad ear and jaw thing, and
yes,
about within an hour and a half, it was gone.
They're wonderful. I mean, you know, the healing team is one thing. You know, when you call in Photar, if you're, you know, going to encounter something really big and you need major assistance and you're in a... for him, that's great fun. And if the people could see him, they would just fall over laughing. One, they'd get scared, and two, he's so comical that they really wouldn't know what to do with it. And that's a cute story for those of you that have heard this story before, that have listened to the program. Brittany was going on a Mediterranean cruise, and she was 14 at the time, and the night before the cruise, Euroka and Photar said, we want to go with her. So I called her, and I said, they want to go, and she said, Jack, they just asked me. And so even though they were here working with me, they were also with her. Again, this is the replication thing, just as Christ can replicate himself and be so many different places, or Jesus. And so at any rate, she tried to talk her way into this 18-year-old, you know, it was 18 to 21 nightclub, and she was only 14, but she looked older. And they just absolutely would not let her in on the ship. She was on a ship. And she looked up, and there was, you know, Euroka and Photar dancing out on the dance floor. So, again, you know, The serious side of us would think, oh, well, no, they have to be very serious in this. No, they're wonderful. I mean, there are some that are very serious. There are some that come in, some of the technicians that come in, they come in, boom, do their job, they're out. And, you know, I don't always have the names when I'm not in channel, but we have some eye specialists, oncologists, or whatever they're called. And, you know, when they come in, they're very, very serious. We have played around with, and I believe me, I say this with great reserve here, in terms of youthifying, I'll go with that. And a couple of times there have been some work that they've done on my face, which was very exciting, but it comes spontaneous. It's not anything I can predict. And it happened one day, and my client came that afternoon for her session. I opened the front door, and she said, oh, my God, have you seen your face? And I said, yes. But, it didn't really stay. It did for a while. So, you know, we play around with some of this stuff. If it comes as a gift, please, you know, nobody, please don't put this on your intentions because, you know, we don't want people distracted with the reversal of aging will be a natural progression, you know, based on all of the incredible healing that we're doing and the ascension process. That is going to happen, although I know there are some on countdown right now going, okay, wrinkles growing, you know. And they are very, very, very excited about what we're doing, how we're doing it. The power retrievals are having a much bigger impact than people realize because they're actually reverberating out. There are some beings that can be stuck in our chakras, I can't go into that whole thing tonight, but I can say that we've been able to release some of them onto other things, and there was such incredible gratitude. Some of these beings, we are a multiplicity as humans. We're not just one person. We tend to think of ourselves that way because we're linear, and, you know, as our consciousness is expanding now, we're going to be able to take in greater concepts and be able to play with those and not be, you know, too surprised. For those that are doing power retrievals with us, majority of you, I would say, have already encountered some of these beings in the chakras. I know you have, Veronica.
Oh, yes, I have. Is their goal, can I just ask this question, their goal is
You can
is
have
really...
all the questions you want.
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking how their goal is rather unified in a way, isn't it? And is it just the evolution of the species, or is there like interaction with the universal consciousness, or what is the goal here? It's not just healing.
Oh, no, it's not just healing.
I shouldn't say just healing. That's pretty big, too.
Well, okay. I see us all as a team, okay? All of you listening out there, and myself included, and Veronica, I see us all as a team, having come here to help in a very big way to make this shift. And I see, if I can just talk about us as a group, that's one aspect. The overall, and all those that are coming, okay, the overall is, yes, to help Earth and help humans shift consciousness. That's the primary concern. We as a species have said, don't intervene too quickly. We think we can do this. And so the only reason they're not landing on the White House lawn is because of us. And, okay, again, everything has more. It's not just this or that. It's this and that or this, that. By not intervening too soon with us, it allows all of consciousness to expand, not only on Earth. What we are doing is having impact other places, not just here. What is happening here has never really happened before this way. So So all eyes are focused on us. There are a ton of observers that come in. You have no idea. If you categorize over here and say, okay, here's all the observers, and some of them even from other universes. So, you know, what is their goal for us? Their goal for us is to assist us without over-assisting, to reawaken to who we are, to bridge and to be bridges. Because we're going to have a whole planet that is going to be dealing with the fact that there is extraterrestrial life.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vatican just put out another announcement this week, endorsing the fact that, yes, there are extraterrestrials, and yes, they're creations of God. And, I mean, the Vatican's paving the way really quick here and has been for a couple of years because they already know, and they have known for quite some time. So what is their goal for us? A, not to blow up our planet, and B, to assist us in any way they can without going too far. That's the reason during the sessions we require intentions.
Mm-hmm.
So that this is a co-creative process. The whole goal from the time that we set this up was, and I say we because I know I'm a participant, from the moment that we set this up was that it would be co-creative without taking people's power away.
Mm-hmm.
So that they would become empowered so that they could go out and empower others. So that they could become the bridge that is going to be needed, because there are going to be a lot of people, their whole concept is going to shatter
mm-hmm.
a reality. Those that have been in total denial that any of this can be real. And who better than all of you to be the bridge? Because those, and again, this is where you're going to hold the higher resonance to be the voice of reason, the voice of peace, the voice of love, to be the intermediary. So it's a very big process preparing all these people to be the intermediary. And, you know, many people are seeing that they're being called to move here or do this or change that or, you know, quit jobs. Or it's all purposeful. And, you know, your higher self, soul, and oversoul are the gatekeeper of all of this. This is not being done by overriding. And I really want to be clear with everybody about that. It is not a matter of overriding. If you've had a negative experience, and I did have somebody last week.
Not with the guides, you mean? With the team?
They perceived it was the team. That they had had a very beautiful experience prior to their session, during their session, after their session. In the dream state, they felt they had a very negative experience, and it was very apparent that this is someone who had been dealing with the abduction experiences, abduction detainment experiences. The translation of those can be very negative. That doesn't mean that they really are.
Hmm.
And through the imprint of that fear, their translation of anything else can, again, you know, this is one in like 4,000. So, but it can happen.
So it's like triggering a release of fear and so on that's within.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of subconscious stuff that really wasn't. This is why Dolores Cannon, you know, in all the thousands and thousands of sessions that she's done, has never encountered a negative experience. Stephen Greer, Cicetti, the same thing. You know, Stephen absolutely will not hear of anybody talking negatively about ETs. You know, we run a really tight, you know, it just sounds so funny, but we run a really tight ship.
Vibrational ship, yes.
Yes, and so there is there is no limit to the varieties of kinds of experiences. And for all of you that are listening, you know, your experiences in the cosmos, you tend to think, oh, I'm from Sirius, or I'm from the Pleiades, or I'm from here. That's just one place. That is just a piece of the totality of all of your experiences. It's so small in comparison. And, you know, do most of you have star families you know, or connected, or are most of you connected in some way to Sirius in this lifetime? Yes. Because Sirius is going to be one of those that we make the major connections with when they start showing up. You know, are people connected to the Pleiades? Are they connected to, you know, Arcturus? Yes. You know, for somebody to show up and say, well, I'm only connected to this. No, you're not.
Universal beings.
We are multi-universal beings, some of us. And so, you know, if you could think of yourself as having done this on thousands of planets and assisted in the evolution of consciousness on thousands of planets, that would be the most appropriate way to really think about it. And it, when you expand your thinking from that perspective, then none of this is really shocking or scary. And so all you're doing is reconnecting with those, you know, with whom you've worked together before, helping other planets evolve. I think that's probably the easiest explanation. That's the way I feel about it.
And we're coming up with lots of our memory of all those places as well, are we?
Oh, yes. Hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm certainly seeing it in this session, you know. Hmm. I certainly, you know, we've been working on the healing the experience of Maldek, which imploded, and that seems to have left a very big mark. You know, Maldek has been referred to as the second Earth experiment. You know, again, these are all names to me. But Maldek, many of the people I know personally that are out there, you know, really doing this stuff, were on Maldek. And I've been there. I know that it was absolutely devastating. And it was a spontaneous experience, and I was just like, oh, my God, we've just lost a whole planet. And I felt that from my perspective, that was part of my commitment for Earth, that this would never happen again. Now, Veronica, you got questions?
Well, Maldek was a long time ago, or is there such a thing as time and space, that sort of thing?
Well,
it's not a current thing, is it?
No. Mm-hmm. No, it was pre-Earth.
And where is it? Where was it?
That part I can't tell you. I really don't know. I am not good. I am not the scientific one, and they don't give me the scientific information. Okay? I'm the one that's here to help unweave and unravel emotions and you know, multiple lifetimes. But in terms of all the technological stuff and technical stuff, I am the wrong person. I do not have the brain capacity for that because I'm working on multiple levels, and I'm having a hell of a time doing that.
You're doing a great job. But it seems like there's a huge tie-in between the Pleiadian lifetimes and the ending, some really disastrous endings in certain high-tech areas there, which led to what Atlantean civilizations or lots of civilizations here and that sort of thing. We hear that a lot, eh?
Well, again, you know, to me it's all words, and I know this sounds silly, but the only time I ever connect to anything on a universal level is if I've had a spontaneous experience where I feel it on the emotional level. Mm. I do feel connected to Sirius. I do feel connected to Arcturus, to Andromeda, to Alpha Centauri. Whatever went on in the Pleiades, and I can tell you, it's like having been on a bad date. You know, if the Pleiades are on the dance floor, I tend to, you know, circle. So whatever went on there, you're probably right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not having a negative judgment. It's just that, you know, I feel that there was a real breach for me during some experience.
Well, and I don't feel like I really know for sure, except that I always feel really a little down about Atlantis and very high about Lemuria. So that's sort of a similar thing to say, actually.
That's very interesting. Okay. I mean, I don't have that sensing of the down about Atlantis. It's interesting for me. But anyway, getting back to the team and what they're doing now, and the energies coming through the sessions have definitely been ramped up. And I've been trying to channel during each radio show. I'm going to let them come in here in a minute. And I just want to say to everyone that please understand that I am constantly in the process of expanding and shifting myself and trying to be able to do this without getting crushed. And just because I do this doesn't mean that I'm totally protected. I'm a human. I have to find ways to do this and figure it out. You know, Veronica, you and I have this talk all the time. Well, can't they help you? Well, we're working on it.
Sometimes we don't ask the right questions, do we?
Well, whatever it is. And I tend to just kind of plow through things, and then I get all crushed, and then I have to figure it out again. So during the channelings, because of the kind of instrument I am, what happens, because we stream through BBS radio out onto all of Bob knows these technical things. I don't know what this is.
Mm-hmm.
But we stream out through different, what do you call those, Veronica?
Surfers.
Servers, okay.
Servers.
All right. My energy seems to go out through all of those places that we stream. And so I'm picking up stuff, and we're trying to stop the two-way. I don't mind if I transmit. I just don't want it coming back in. And that's where it can be very, very hard on me. So we're working on trying to modify that. We set some things up tonight to see if that'll work, and I hope it will. I'm going to go into channel here and let them come in at least to connect with everybody. And, Veronica, are we up to the hour? Do you know?
Yeah, we go up to the hour. So we only have, like, 7 minutes.
Okay. Okay. So you can ask them questions if you'd like.
All right.
All right. We're sorry, we make the channel giggle when we do this. All right. Welcome, 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 Veronica. And welcome to all of you that are listening tonight.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. It is a joy for us to be with you. And we will say that the team is jumping for joy. They want to go and play with all of you in any way that they can. Now, we want you to know, and we will tell you from our perspective, the love that is held for all of you. We've said this before, we're going to say it again. Each and every one of you are known. Each and every one of you are loved. Do not think for a moment that you have been forgotten. You have not. Do not think for a moment that there are not those around you. They are there. You may not be able to see them, but they're there. They love you. And the channel's correct. There is the ability now to step up. We have to be careful with the word intervention, but somehow we'll use that word. The awakening. We'll use that word. That's a better word. The awakening. The tapping you on the shoulder, dancing with you in the dream state, whatever it takes to call you home now. To call you to remembering who you really are. Not just questioning it, not just hoping this is who I am, but connecting with you. So that you can feel loved again, supported again, embraced again, unconditionally loved. and know that you aren't going to fall, you're not going to fail. That there's a safety net, a loving safety net there for you. You are loved. You are known. We know for many of you this has been a lonely lifetime, a difficult one. You've all felt different in one way or another. You've taken on tremendously difficult lifetimes, many of you. Some for your own learning, but also another layer, another level for the whole. Because you are such incredible beings that you saw an opportunity to come in and be of tremendous service. And for that reason, you are greatly loved. And the support, well, it's joy to bring that support. That's why everybody's there lickety-split. They need us. Let's get there. You're loved. You're supported. And each and every one of you has a role, a place, a piece. Each and every one of you are important. We don't care if you're lying in a hospital somewhere. Don't think for a moment that you aren't having impact, because you are. There's no way for you not to be. Whether you're working actively in the wake state or in the dream state, you're doing it.
How do you decide who all comes with you in your team?
We're sorry, we don't understand the question.
You have a wonderfully huge coalescence of beings, and I just wondered how you decide how you all come together.
How we decide how we come together, we still don't understand your question.
How did you choose each other? Is it for the motivation of helping on this planet, or are you already in association, maybe
well,
by vibration?
The call went out. All right. Now, many of the races that participate are related in some way, be it from the future, in many cases from the future. Coming back into the past to assist. Having relationships with you in one capacity or another. Remember, the number of races, all right, as a race, as humans, there are a number of races that are represented in your DNA more than any other place in the universe. So, of course, there's a tremendous number of beings that are involved. And now think about it this way. When you have a grand experiment, when you're doing something that's never been done before, don't your neighbors want to come over and watch? Aren't your neighbors curious with all that Bob does?
You bet.
Same thing. And then they want to get involved, too. They're cheering you also. So when you say choose, well, it happens without question. Here you are, the garden planet, going through this incredible shift with all of these different things going on. Of course, everyone would come in to assist. Now,
go ahead.
Yes. Are there more than what you might think? Yes, very much so. Now, only you as humans think about, well, who came first? And, you know, when did they join? And, well, it's not thought of that way on the other side of the veil.
I'm afraid we're going to have to sign off.
Oh, all right.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's a joy. Well, you don't need to apologize to us. It's a joy for us to be with you, and we offer to all of you to call us in tonight. Our joy to come and visit with you. We love you, dear ones. And in this moment, let us touch your heart. with the love of the source of all, with the love of God, God is all that is, with the love of the creatrix, with any name that you choose to use. Allow yourselves to feel it for just one moment, and you as well, Veronica.
Yes, thank you.
You are loved, dear ones. You are loved. Until we speak with all of you again. Namaste, dear ones.
Namaste. Thank you so much. Welcome back.
Thank you. Are we done? Is the show over?
You can sign us off if you like.
Okay, well, hold on, making it easier. A piece of every one of you is in Veronica and I, and a piece of Veronica and I are in every one of you. It can be no other way. We are all one. We came here together to make a difference. Let's do it with the greatest joy we can. We love you all. We'll talk with you next week. Veronica, you've got your show Tuesday night.
4 o'clock West Coast time for Radiance, and 5 o'clock is Paradigm Shifter. She's a horse person in the herd.
And her shows are fabulous, everyone. We adore Veronica. We love all of you. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. And have fun. If you decide to invite them in, I hope you have a great time.
Thanks for introducing all the wonderful beings. Thanks, Jackie.
Oh, there's so many more. Good night, everyone. Good night, Ronnie. I love you.
Good night. Love you.